Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday evening. The panelists are a little slow coming in, but I do have two of the major panelists, Michael and Darius. Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Hey, David. How you doing? How you doing, Darius?
Okay.
Hey, guys. I'm doing good, man. Good to hear your voice, Michael.
Good to hear you as well, Darius.
So let's get started. We just got Don came in, so now we got, you know, Don's running the phone, but let's get started. Michael, anything you got that you would like to bring to the table to start the conversation with?
Yes, David, thank you for starting with me. I appreciate that. Yeah, let's go ahead and start with the elephant in the room, and that's Donald Trump. It looks like he's going to take the nominee. She beat Nikki Haley in her own home state, which is kind of embarrassing to her. She was a two-term governor and an ambassador, and she still lost in her home state to Donald Trump. So it looks like Donald Trump is going to be the leader for the Republican Party. I would like to throw to the table the fact that his trial is now on calendar in New York, which means his trial starts in March for his first criminal trial. And he was just $450 million and penalties for another case he lost. So with all that said, David, my question to the panel, to Darius and whoever else is on, what are your thoughts on all this trouble Donald Trump is in, and is he going to be able to survive this and win the presidency, starting with the $450 million debt he owes?
Darius, what are your thoughts? All right.
Thanks, David.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, it's the same as always, Michael. I mean, no one is shocked by those losses. I mean, you're dealing with an extremely liberal judge, an extremely liberal DA who doesn't show any kind of objectivity at all and had preconceived notions before the case was even tried. So we're not shocked by that. All I think this is going to do is he's going to have to put up the money on appeal, which will be, I'm sure somewhat of a hindrance to him, because the thing about, from what I understand in New York in the appeals court, is if you're appealing a civil judgment, you have to actually put the money up as bond. And so that's going to tie up a considerable amount of cash for him. But I'm noticing that he's gaining more and more support, and more people are willing to help facilitate, whatever monetary losses he sustained. I don't know if you guys saw where he had the sneaker that came out. The sneaker was selling for like $350, and he completely sold out of them. I don't know how many he sold, but whatever it was, he sold out. And secondhand market online, they're selling for like $10,000 a pop. So I just think this is really hurting the Democrats, because the more that they try to come after him, I think the more people are seeing through it and realizing that this is no doubt election interference. And for the party who's always talking about who's a threat to democracy, here's a full threat to democracy on display. Whenever a judge claims to know more about real estate than the banks and the financial advisors and real estate appraisers and real estate attorneys, and he claims to just pull a value out of his butt and slap it on Donald Trump, and Letitia James and doing the same thing, that's a travesty right there, Justice. And I think it's going to come back to bite them later, because even if he gets – I'm sorry, he is going to win on appeal. But what's going to happen is it's just going to strengthen his campaign, and he's going to gain more support and more momentum as this keeps going on.
All right. Michael, do you want to – Don just came in also, and so did Tony. So can you brief a little bit about the question that you're asking, and we'll go on further?
Yeah, absolutely. How you doing, Tony, and how you doing, Brother Wiggins? Yeah, my question just was, you know, Donald Trump just got hit with this $450 million default, which he has to pay, and the interest is $100,000 a day on that he has to pay. My question is, that's the first knife in the back that's going to finally sink Donald Trump. I just want to hear what Tony and Don Wiggins think. Do you think it's pretty much downhill moving forward from Donald Trump, or is it uphill moving forward from Donald Trump, considering all the legal issues he's getting into right now?
Thank you, Michael. Let me take it. Thank you very much, David, for calling on me. But, Michael, I thank you for bringing that up.
Oh.
And Darius, man, you should get a job working for Donald Trump's campaign. You represented him so well.
I've said that a thousand times.
Yeah, you know, you represent him so well, Darius. I mean, you should really contact his campaign office. But it amazes me how a man can have 90-some indictments and run for president of the United States of America. You know, and to say it makes him feel like now he understands why black people like him, because we've been persecuted so many times. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then to come with a shoe with the red bottom is an infringement upon copyrights. He's going to get sued for that. And then, I tell you, like the way it's happening, because he's being so indicted and doesn't know how he's going to be able to make all of these court dates and run a campaign. That's the reason why that she's still in the race, because she believes that he's not going to be able to do it. That's her bet. And she's going to stay in until the Republican Party make up their mind what they want to do. I mean, it's a mess. It's a real mess. So, I mean, still got some time. Got a lot of time. But, man, he's not going to be able to focus with all these court dates. And that's what I'm seeing, Michael. And it's for real. It's for real.
All right. Tony, what are your thoughts?
Oh, well, yeah. Donald Trump created his own problems, and he has been bringing down so many of his people with him. And these people are aware of how many people have been going to jail, have been having to pay fines, all legally done. He is in a situation. Why do anyone would think that what the judge is doing is wrong? It has nothing to do with Republic or Democrat. It is facts of law. What Donald Trump has done over the years is to, quote-unquote, hustle the country. And this is his end result. This is what he's paying for today. He knew what he was doing. He did all of those things wrongfully. It was his hustle. It was his game. And he was very successful at it. But at this point now, it's turning back to bite him. And that's all it is. He knows what he has done, and he has gotten away with it. Everything that he has done over the years has proved that he was a hustler. How many people have lost monies, big monies, by investing with him and got nothing back in return and lost all of their monies going down the Donald Trump way? Now it's turning against him. He just have to accept the results, but he's going to continue fighting, but it will catch up with him. That's my thought.
All right, any comments, Michael?
I agree with Tony wholeheartedly. I mean, he's just – Donald Trump's been a hustler his whole life. That's all he is. He's not a businessman. He's a hustler. He hustles for money. And it's finally catching up with him, and it just goes to show. Donald Trump's in his 70s. He's been a hustler his whole life. It just puts white privilege on full display because him being a white man was the reason he's been able to hustle and con people for all these years and rise to the top and not get any sort of feedback, any anger from it. So he's just, to me, the poster child of white privilege and what a white man can do. Because if a black man had this many indictments and had hustled that many people through the years, he'd be doing life in prison right now.
All right.
True.
All right.
Under the prison.
Yes.
All right.
Hey, David, can I know you're trying to move on. I'd like to try to educate Tony a little bit.
Okay.
Because I know Don and Michael know better, but they're just so in the tank. They're so partisan, so they're not even using their common sense and objectivity. They know better. But I want to educate Tony because I don't think Tony's that person. So, Tony, I want to ask you, man, have you ever bought a house or a car before?
Yes, many.
Okay. And when you purchase that, do you just go to the bank and say, hey, I want to buy a Honda Civic. I need $250,000, and the bank just cuts you a check for the $250,000?
Well, normally that's not the way it's done. I always go through a dealership, and they're the ones that puts the figures out there, and they're the ones that supply the money through a bank.
I get you. But let's say a house then. When you go buy a house, do you just go to the mortgage company and tell them how much you need and they just cut you a check for that house based on what you said?
Not really. Not to my knowledge. The way it's done is through an appraisal. Everything is appraised.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. You answered the question. So this is what I want to let you know when you say that this is the judge and this is legal. It's not legal. What happens is Donald Trump can't just go to a bank and say this property is worth $100 million and the bank just cuts him a check. A real estate transaction works just like any – his real estate transactions are just like any others. He says $100 million. The bank sends, like you said, when you bought your house, they require an appraisal. Not only do they require an appraisal from you, the bank goes out and they do their own appraisal of the property. Then once the bank appraises the property – and you show your own appraisal, there's also an insurance company that goes out and appraises the value of the property because they won't write insurance on a property that's overvalued. So you tell me, Tony, I'm just saying, just using your real-world experience, in what world does a bank just cut a check and ignore the real estate appraisal of the person applying for the loan, the bank's real estate appraisal, and the insurance company? There is something called due diligence. And if you know that, then you know that a judge can't determine the value of a property. And the banks have testified, and with all this talk, you guys talking about everybody that lost money, the banks themselves have testified and said they didn't lose a dime. They said they made money. And they were looking forward to doing business with Donald Trump because he was a whale and his financial transactions always paid off, that they've never lost money with him. So you tell me where the fairness is in that, Tony. Like I said, I know Don knows better. I know Michael knows better. But they're trying to pretend just so that they can support their point or their narrative that, oh, this is illegal. He's a hustler. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So that's what's really going on, Tony. And that's why these verdicts are not going to stand up in appeals courts.
So what is your opinion of what the judge has done? Are you saying what the judge has done is illegal?
No, it's illegal. A judge cannot make a determination of the value of property. You have professionals that do this kind of stuff. So, yeah, what he's doing is him and Letitia James are trying to railroad Donald Trump. What he did is not – there's no precedent for what he's done. And you'll see soon that it's going to get overturned. But like I said, if you don't agree, all you got to do is just ask yourself on any basic real estate transaction. Thank you. You have a break. On any basic real estate transaction, if that's how it's done, can you defraud a bank by saying your property is worth something? The banks always do their own due diligence. They don't go by your word.
Okay, Darius, let me push back on you on that one. That's true. What you said, everything you said is absolutely correct. Yeah, the banks do their due diligence. There's appraising, blah, blah, blah. Unless you're a rich white man named Donald Trump. That's the point I said earlier, his white privilege. They didn't do all that due diligence with him, obviously. Obviously, he just called the bank and said, hey, this property is worth $1 billion. And they said, okay, it must be if Donald Trump said so. And if they did send an appraiser, I'm pretty sure Donald Trump paid that appraiser to go along with him and lie along with him. So, Darius, it's just laughable for you to say that the judge, hang on, Darius, it's funny for you to say that this judge in particular is breaking the law because he's ruling rightfully against Donald Trump. That judge has been on the bench for many years. Are you saying he always breaks the law? Or he only broke the law this one time with Donald Trump?
I think most of the judges and the DAs and the prosecutors that's going after Donald Trump may have been legitimate in their, you know, jurors during their time. But Donald Trump has created something called Trump derangement syndrome, which is causing people to lie and compromise their own integrity because they hate him so much. And, Michael, I want to tell you this. If you want to go with what you said, that Donald Trump lied and he just told the bank whatever and the bank just did it, there's not just one person. I don't know if you understand how commercial loan works. I've done it nowhere near on that scale, but there's a committee. It's not one person that you pay money and they bribe it. And there's a set of appraisals that have to take place. So it's not just yours. It's not just the banks. And it's not just the insurance company. When you're writing money of that size, you have actuaries that come in and do these things. And this is what Donald Trump was trying to explain to everybody, but most people don't understand it or are not willing to understand it. And then you would have to deny, if you said, oh, the banks just did it because it's Donald Trump and his white privilege, then what you would have to do is you'd have to discount their own testimony. Because the banks themselves, they came in. The bankers themselves came in and said, no, we weren't defrauded. Yes, we did our own due diligence. Actually, one of the banks said they came in a little lower than what Donald Trump said his property value was worth, which is normally how it happens. The owner of the property says one number. The bank says another number, and then they meet somewhere in between there. So what you're saying, Michael, just does not hold water, and it's in direct contradiction to what the banks said themselves. You have a victimless crime because the banks are telling you, we made money. We did not lose money. So where is the fraud?
All right. Someone got a radio on or something in the background.
Okay, hey, real quick, hey, Darius, there is a thing called Trump derangement syndrome. You're absolutely right. But it's not affecting judges and lawyers. It's affecting guys like you.
You just saw the judge right now make a decision. Michael, when have you ever – show me the precedent when a judge comes in and asserts his authority and tells you that he can tell you assess the value of a property. He's not a real estate appraiser. He's not a banker. He's not an insurance investor. He's not underwriting these loans. So when have you ever had any precedent of a judge coming in and saying, I don't care what the experts say. I don't care what the banks say. I don't care what the insurance companies say, the underwriters or the actuaries. I'm going to assess my own value. When has that ever happened? Ever?
Darius, where do you think he got that number from?
He pulled it out of his butt. Because even if I'm getting ready to tell you, ask me a question. Even if you pull up what's the property tax records, you live in Florida, Don, you can go on Zillow yourself. Look up where Mar-a-Lago is, look up the address, and pull up homes which are a quarter of the size of Donald Trump's estate and see what they're selling them for, see what the value is on them, and come up with your own conclusion. See, I don't just talk out of my mouth, guys. I do research. I've seen a five-bedroom house sitting on the beach probably about 10 miles from Donald Trump's house. They valued that house at $20 million. You're trying to tell me that Donald Trump has a 55-room mansion with a golf course and a country club that's worth the same as a five-bedroom house? Guys, do your own research. Stop swallowing the Kool-Aid that CNN and MSNBC are giving you. Educate yourselves. You can do it on your own.
Hey, when you say you don't talk out of your mouth, you do the research. Were you talking out of your mouth when you said Russia wasn't going to invade Ukraine? Or did you do a research? Or did you just get the advice?
Well, that was an opinion. That wasn't a discussion of facts, Mike. I gave an opinion on that. I didn't give a factual statement.
You were wrong, though. My point is you were wrong on that, like you're wrong on this, is my point.
You can't be wrong on the facts, Michael. You can research it yourself and then tell me I'm wrong. If I tell you that the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, that's not an opinion, brother. You can go look overboard yourself and tell. So all I'm asking you to do is before you say I'm wrong, I don't know what I'm talking about, do your research. Show me precedent. Show me the property values. You can do it yourself.
All right, gentlemen. Mr. Solutions, I see you're in. Are you able to comment on this subject?
Hi. First of all, hi, David, panelist. I think Darius is making an excellent point. It not only is mellifluous, it also fits the facts. So I think there's little else left to be said except to invoke the Trump derangement syndrome.
All right. Anyone else got any other comments for this? Let's move forward. Tony, did you have something you'd like to bring to the table?
Yes, I want to go down a different avenue here for a minute.
Okay.
And this is all about music. And I would like the panel to give me their opinion on where we are today with music. You know, we started off, I'm strictly concerned, this is primarily about black music. We started in gospel, you know, which was something good to keep uplifting the black people. Then we moved on to blues and then to jazz. And then from jazz, we went to soul music. And coming down the years, we went to R&B, rhythm and blues. And now we are at a point where we are at rap music. And I use the word music carefully. I don't understand, I don't get it, why this is rap is called music. And I see like it has destroyed the original theme of the word music. What I am hearing today, and I'm talking because back in the days, in the 60s and the 70s, I was a disc jockey. And I had to stop playing music because of what I'm hearing today, what they consider music, I don't see it as music at all. And what I am seeing and hearing on the radio today is a very, very low standard of what we had put out there back in the days from gospel all the way coming down. Where we are today is to me, very insulted for what we considered black music. Any opinions?
One of the things, Tony, that I would say is this sounds like the same comments I heard when rock and roll came out, rock music came out. Those were the same kind of comments, but look how much money rock music made for the people that was doing it. And we have the same process and thing going on now. So let's open the floor. Anybody got any comments on this other than that?
Yeah, if I could take that one, please. Cause...
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike. Michael.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Wiggins. I'll be real quick and I'll pass it to you, brother. Yeah, I'll take that one, Tony, because I'm in the entertainment business, so I understand your point. But first, you're absolutely right. Today's music, and it's rap music, it's hip-hop music. Hip-hop music today is so degrading and embarrassing, and it's just sad. But I'm going to defend hip-hop and rap music because I love hip-hop music. It's a part of my culture. It's a part of my life. At one point, hip-hop music wasn't as low frequency as it is now, just for lack of a better word. Rap music was once uplifting. It really was. It was a good form of art. It was a great form of art, to be honest with you, that had a message behind it that was positive, that my community and my culture loved. What happened was the Jewish community got involved because they saw all the money that can be made from it, and they just start putting out the most trashiest, lowest form of music, hip-hop music, that they could put out, as long as it was turning them a dollar. The Jewish community owns the record companies, the distribution companies, the radio stations, so they control what music gets out there. Tony, there are a lot of really good hip-hop artists who make really good positive music. They just don't, you don't hear about them because the Jewish community don't want you to hear about them. They want you to hear about the sexy reds and the females who just say, shake it, shake it, shake it, just shake it. That's all they're saying. So short answer to your question, the Jewish community controls our music and they don't want us to hear positive things. They want us to hear negative things because they want to destroy our culture. Go ahead, Brother Wiggins.
Michael, I cannot have said it any better. You wrote the script, brother. You told the story. And it's amazing the narrative that has been allowed to be projected. And we control the art form, but they control the narrative. And the thing is, like you said, Michael, not rap, but hip-hop. I mean, it created an entirely different culture, from songs to clothing to dialogue. I mean, man, that culture has exploded. 50 years of hip-hop, about 50 years we've been experiencing. But it didn't start like this. You're absolutely right, Michael. It was positive. It was a chance for us to express ourselves. But the thing is, that culture that owns the platform, the radio stations, the music companies, they had just monopolized it and just turned it into nothing but cash and shooting our young people with music that influences them to do nothing but negative.
All right. Any other comments? Darius, what are your thoughts?
You know, I was going to chime in, but I was wanting to hear what Mr. Solutions had to say. But I'm going to ask the panel something because I agree with Michael wholeheartedly. He is so right on that. And there is good hip-hop music out there, and there are some talented artists out there. It's not all bad, Tony. But like Michael said, that's not what's in demand. Now, what I want to ask Michael, though, and the panel is, whose fault is that? Do we blame the Jewish community? Because, yeah, they're putting it out there. They're promoting it. But who's making it? And who's buying it? At some point, we as a people are going to accept personal responsibility for our choices and the decimation of our community. It's the same argument with selling drugs and doing – it's the same argument with selling drugs and having guns. We say, oh, the white man put the drugs in our neighborhood. Yeah, they may have, but did they make you sell it? Did they make you take it? Yeah, the white man gave us the guns. Yeah, did he make you shoot each other? You got to accept accountability, man. We got to stop this. And I agree, yeah, they're making money on it. They're perpetrating a fraud on our community. And yes, they're partly responsible for the degradation of our community, but we're willing participants. We're useful idiots. And we can't blame anybody, because guess what? If the Jewish people put it out there and nobody bought it, they would fail.
Okay, Darius, I got to push back on you with that. I was with you to the end, Darius. You're blaming the victim. You're blaming the victims. You can't blame the victim for that. It's like if we were in 1863 and you went on a plantation and said, hey, whose fault is it you guys are slaves? You guys are picking the cotton. I mean, at some point, you got to take responsibility for being a slave. It's like that's how you sound, Darius. You can't point the finger at the victim. Okay, I'm in the music industry, and I've had success in that business. But I and 10 other black men like me, we can't go to Universal Records tomorrow and say, hey, stop playing Sexy Red. Stop playing Meg Thee Stallion. Stop playing all these negative artists that are destroying our community. We can't do that. And for you to say, well, we're buying it, well, if somebody's hungry and you feed them a shit sandwich, they're going to eat that shit sandwich because that's their only option is the shit sandwich. Okay, the only option the radio stations are feeding us is the low-frequency music. So, yeah, we're going to buy it because it's the only option, and we want to be entertained. So it's not the fault of the black community. It's the fault of the Jewish community who owns the record companies, who owns the distribution companies that are selling that BS to my community.
And if I may add what you just said, Michael, the media has such a strong influence on human behavior. Such a strong influence. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So, I mean, if I play a song,
you'll come back.
I play a song.
There you go, sir. Thank you. Have a great night.
Seriously. Eventually, you're going to start hearing it, then you're going to like it, then you're going to start singing it, and then you're going to buy it. That's why we as radio announcers came up with, man, that sounds so nice, I think I'll play it twice. And we made money off of it because we knew that if we continually play a piece of music, people would buy it. And that's what they go for. These companies want rotation. And the thing is, BMI and ASCAP are scaling royalties and pay off of how many times a song is played. So it turns into a monetary situation where, I mean, I'm like you, brother. I go all the way back to gospel. In the 60s and 70s, it was love songs. It was love songs. We were making love to women. And then all of a sudden, things changed. And I know where the change happened. Michael nailed it. He nailed it when the change happened. So, you know, radio and TV stations have a strong influence on the human behavior. Let me say that.
Michael and Don, you guys are copping out. And I'm going to tell you, Michael, in response to what you said, your slave analogy, this is the. I'm glad you brought that up because that's a major difference. There's no one standing over them with a whip saying, listen to Cardi B or we're going to beat you. There's no one chaining you down, sitting you down in front of the radio and say you have to listen to Sexy Red. No, they're not forcing them to do anything. They're craving it. We as a community are looking for this stuff, seeking it out. So I don't care what you guys say about who's pushing it and who's peddling it. The thing is, someone has to buy it. If there's not a market for it, it would not exist. Michael, you don't have to go to the record labels and say, don't play Megan Thee Stallion. You don't have to tell them that. If no one's buying it, they won't play it. If there's not a market for it, it won't happen. And I'm telling you guys, if we don't start accepting personal responsibility and stop blaming, we will forever be in the state that we're in now. Actually, I take it back. Not forever in the state we are now. We will continue to digress because we are regress, because we are blaming everyone else except ourselves. Like, we're so helpless. We're so easily influenced. We don't have any common sense. We don't have any integrity, any character. We just eat whatever they spoon feed us. And if you keep accepting that, then this is where we'll always be, and we'll continue to go backwards.
Are you aware that there was limits on what you could say on the radio and on television? I mean, the FCC monitored it, and they did a great job of controlling it, but it was able to get out of control.
And Darius, let me explain something to you about the entertainment business real quick. You pointed out markets. The entertainment business creates the market. Okay, yeah, there's a market for that ratchet, Sexy Red and Megan Thee Stallion type music because the record companies created that market. Okay, if you wake up in the morning and you're driving to work and you cut your radio on and Cardi B's the first thing you hear, that's just going to be in your head all day. It just is, okay? The same thing with all the other ratchet music. If they keep playing that and putting that out there, we're going to digest it. It's going to be in our eco. It's going to be in our system, okay? They are forcing it on us. You said there's nobody like in slavery standing over and forcing them. Yes, they are. They are forcing Cardi B on us. They're forcing Meg Thee Stallion on us. They're forcing that low-frequency music on us. Because when you turn on your radio, it's already on. What are you going to do? Just turn the radio off and drive to work? No, you're not going to do that. You're going to listen to something
Michael,
while you're
many,
driving
how
to
many
work.
How many Sexy Red albums do you own?
Zero. But I know
that's
the words to
exactly.
every one of her songs.
That's
but I
my
know
point.
The words to all her music because it's on the radio every day.
Michael, that's my point exactly, though. You heard it because they played it for you. But you made a decision that, hey, I'm not going to support this. I'm not going to put my dollars towards this.
I'm an intelligent adult. A 15-year-old little girl is listening to it. She's not intelligent enough to know that this is not what I'm supposed to be listening to. I'm an adult. Of course I'm intelligent enough to not buy Sexy Red. But we're talking about kids here, Darius.
And that's where we have to do a better job. Once again, I said that. We have to be accountable. We have to accept responsibility. I guarantee you, my kids might know it, but I guarantee you not one of my kids has a Cardi B, Sexy Red, or Megan Thee Stallion album. I promise you that. And what I'm saying is we have to be responsible.
Know the words to her song. I bet you they know her songs. I bet you they could sing each and every last one of those artists a lyric from their songs. I bet you your kids can.
I'm sure some of them. They probably know some of it, but no, I will guarantee you they don't know all the lyrics to all of their songs because I've talked to them about what's trash and what's acceptable and what people are trying to put in your head and how they're trying to influence you and how they're all for the decimation of our community and that this is what it does. It's not just about a catchy beat. But what I don't do is I don't allow them to blame someone else for their actions, to blame someone else for what they're taking in. And, yeah, if I hear that song on my radio, Michael, guess what? I do turn it off. I do change the channel. And if I see stuff on my television, I do change the channel. So they can't make me watch it. Like I said, no one's standing over you with a whip saying you better pick that cotton or you better listen to this song. On the radio, you better watch this video. There's no one forcing you to do that.
Okay, Darius, right. I have me and you. Okay, go ahead, David. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Real quick, Darius, you and I both have kids, right? If my daughter goes to school and I said, don't listen to Cardi B, Cardi B's trash, but she goes to school and all her friends are listening to Cardi B, she's going to listen to Cardi B because she doesn't want to be the odd man out.
All right,
I totally agree with it. I just don't agree that you necessarily have to be a consumer of it. Yeah, you're going to hear it because your friends are hearing it, and you're in a world where everybody else is listening to it. You're going to hear it, but do you have to constantly listen to it? Do you have to support it? Do you have to buy it? Do you have to go to her concerts? No, and that's what I'm talking about, Michael.
So, question: so who owns the black media to date? Are these black radio stations owned by black conglomerates, or are they owned by white people, by the Jews?
White people. The Jews. There are no black-owned radio stations, no black-owned media companies in America. They're all owned by the Jews.
That's not true.
Name one.
The Davis Company. They're in Macon, Georgia. They own all the radio stations. They own the jazz station here. They own the Hispanic channels. Greg Davis Jr. is a friend of mine, and his father bought those channels. And actually, Mr. Wiggins knows who they are because he introduced me to them.
They're small. They're small compared to Universal, Warner Brothers. They're small compared to Sony.
That's true, but they do own them. All right.
Yeah, they do, David. But let me say something on that note. They are one of the few. I mean one of the few. Kathy Hughes used to own hers, but she doesn't even own hers anymore. It's controlled by people that don't look like us. And the thing is, it used to be where you couldn't buy more than two or three radio stations in a market. Now you can own the market. I mean, it's crazy. We lost the hair care industry. We lost the music industry. We lost the radio. We lost the television with BET. I mean, we don't own no plane. We don't dominate any industry. It's sickening.
All right, let's move on. Mr. Solutions, what are your thoughts on this subject?
Yeah, well, I think it's a very interesting subject and obviously very passionate, but I do think Mr. Darius made some excellent points regarding accountability. I think if one removes the quote-unquote racial component from it and just plug in the people component, I would say, caveat emptor, you know, let the buyer beware, and personal accountability, and teaching your kids. It seems to me that there's a sidestepping of responsibility at every phase, and kids, you know, what buttresses kids are their parents. Their parents teach them what to listen to. You know, and many kids don't follow the crowd. I know that's a strong orientation, that is, to follow one's peers, but all kids don't do that, and they don't do it to the same degree. I shouldn't say kids, just young people, young adults. I think that the music, it has various genres, obviously, and I think you made a good point, David, is that at one juncture, I believe it was rock and roll, hard rock, and other genres of music were considered suspect, and I think time kind of brought in the softening characteristic or the acceptance, I should say. And so, now I don't like rock music, certainly don't like acid rock, but most genres of music I can find something interesting, something entertaining. And I think to categorize one group as the villain is not appropriate. I think, observe that group, get out of one's ego, observe that group, see what they're doing, and then maybe follow suit. That seems to me the best thing. The other point I was going to talk about was boycott. That's the one I wanted to parallel with the caveat emptor. Is one can boycott it, but one has to have the intestinal fortitude and the knowledge to do such. So I would just say, kind of drawstringing all of this together, it certainly is going to come down to personal accountability. There's just no way of getting around it. And by the way, the larger issue of slavery is that there was a choice, because the people who sold their human capital into slavery, that was a choice, right? Those people were their enemies. So at any rate, I do think there's a greater amount of liberty today than there has ever been and possibly ever will be. I think people need to avail themselves of it.
All right.
I'm done.
All right. Okay. Tony, anything else you want to make on this thing that you brought up here that caused all the conversation?
I'm still concerned about the media controlling this type of music on these black stations. I'm in the South, and there is a radio station, Magic 102, which I think is broadcast in different states. And the music that I hear coming out of from their speakers to date is insulting to me, to the black population. It's very degrading, and I don't understand why the disc jockeys or the people that are in charge of these radio stations are allowing this music to play on the air. I could understand them playing it in the clubs and different areas, but why are we subjecting our young people to this type of music on the air? And this is what is bringing us, and this is daily, it's every day. All day you hear this type of music. You know, back in the day you would hear a certain type of music is limited to a period of time in the evening into the night. Now this is being heard all day long, and I don't know why the people in charge is not hearing this and allowing it to continue to play on the airwaves.
Well, I can address that briefly, David. Where
do you live, brother? What market are you in?
That's Houston, Texas. Texas. 102 is Texas. That's Houston, Texas, that market. And the people in charge are the Jews, to answer your question, Tony. That's why. The people in charge are hearing this music. They're hearing it every day. They're Jewish. They're not black. That's why, to answer your question.
Oh, never,
right.
Never,
I have a quick
never
question.
Thought that.
Yeah,
ahead.
Well,
go
I would just
thought.
Say still, I noticed this desire to skirt personal accountability. Look, they say one letter, now this is true of writing people's congressmen, one letter accounts for 100 people. They generally count that as many, many multiples. So I would say people who feel like you, I believe it's Tony who's raising this issue, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony, I would say get into a letter writing campaign, one page, a few paragraphs on that one page, and boycott. That has the greatest likelihood of changing things. And David, I don't know if you guys have, I came in a little bit late, but if you guys had discussed the Fannie Willis theft of the election campaign allegation, I had a few notes on that when you open up the mic.
Yeah, no, not yet. That's our next comment, I think. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
With you. All right.
Let me put wraps on what Tony is talking about. See,
sure.
Tony, these stations are programmed, monetized, owned by the Jewish persuasion. And most of the people that decide what music is being played are music directors and program directors. And they have been instructed to play songs that are on the playlist. The playlist is national. It's got to be tremendous sales. They can't just play what they like. They are dictated and demanded play certain songs. So they don't have any choice in a lot of cases. Now, in the market you're in, it's a very young-oriented, Hispanic and African-American dominated city or region. So, man, I mean, that's the market that they want to exploit.
Hey,
yes,
if you write the advertisers, stop being lazy, write the advertisers. That makes the most difference. That makes more difference than even writing the station individuals. As you just said, there may be some directive that they receive. I understand that. But if you write the advertisers, trust me, you will get a difference. And particularly if one is consistent. Right. Have you ever done that, first of all? Have you ever written the advertisers other than just complain here
sides.
On this?
I've been on both sides, brother. I've been on both sides.
Okay, what did the what results did you get when you wrote the advertisers?
None.
Okay. Well, you have to be consistent because that's all you really have other than complaining here is to write the advertisers. They are the ones who give the marching orders. So, you know, unless you consider the problem intractable or unsolvable.
And the advertiser is interested in one thing, return on
money.
Well, that's what you are jeopardizing.
Yeah, but
by writing the advertiser, you're putting the advertiser on notice or the sponsor or advertiser, either way. Trust me, if you do that, you'll get results, much more so than complaining here.
Do you realize how many times that has been said and done?
Okay, you got to keep doing it, just like walking and eating. We do things. I mean, people do things that give them benefits that reinforce it. So, I mean, okay, you can bring it up every time here and see what kind of impact it gets. But I'm telling you what to do. I'm giving you a prescription, guidance on what to do to get the best. That's the best option for the best response is to write the advertisers and sponsors and tell them how you feel.
But, Tony, the advertisers already know how we feel. They know that the music is trash and it's destroying the community. They don't need a letter from Don Wiggins to know that. They already know that.
Okay. All right, so you think this is a better option, complaining about it on David's wonderful show?
I didn't say that. We're just having a conversation about it.
Right, but I'm having a conversation that has a terminus involved. In other words, a purpose and a goal. Do it. Write the sponsors and advertisers. Let them know how you feel. They need to know. And they'll change their behavior, all things being considered. They don't have a choice. If you write them and say, look, I'm a supporter of X product. I see that you promote this kind of music that I consider detrimental to, quote, unquote, my community. And I would like for you to curtail or eliminate said activity. And if you go that route and they get 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, couple of hundred letters of the same genre, trust me, that'll make a difference. We're talking about money. That's about money.
All due respect, Mr. Solutions, while that's feasible, that idea will not work because, like you said, we're talking about money. And it doesn't matter if you write 100 letters, a million letters. If they're seeing sold-out concerts, they're seeing $3 million in 3 million albums sold, and they're hearing DJs requested phone calls where they're requesting their music around the clock. If that's happening, the advertisers don't care what you say because the numbers are showing something different. And what the advertisers do, and I'm sure Don can account for this, is they look at the number of ears and eyes that you can attract. And if Megan Thee Stallion is twerking and she's getting 2 million eyeballs on her, Target is going to tap their brand to that because they know they got eyeballs. So it doesn't matter about the letters. It goes back to what I said initially. If there's not a market for it, then it will cease to exist. As long as there's a market, there's absolutely nothing we could do about that.
Right. I don't agree with it.
You know, it goes back to the solution to what I said earlier. Faith comes by hearing. I mean,
let me just say this. I didn't mean to be unilateral. Also, you educate the people that you are concerned about. I mean, you seem fairly educated on the issue which you have interest. You and the people who feel like you, you have to do both. This is a multitask scenario. So, sure, you write the letters, but that's not all one does is just sit on their haunches. You also educate the people away from that particular activity. So you.
Why do we have to do all that? Why don't they just stop playing the trash? Why do we got to write?
Okay, now you can answer that as well as I can. People do what's in their best interest. So do you, so do I, so does everyone else. So, you know, people are not obligated to do what makes you better or much better. So that's that answer.
We used to have a strong influence with the FCC. When was the last time you heard a news story about the FCC?
Federal Communications Commission? I'm not quite sure what you're getting at.
Okay, you've already, no, it's already been answered. Thank you.
All right. So, we're getting time on the show a little bit, so we're going to move on because there's a couple of things I want to bring up. And one is, like, what the U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear a landmark social media case. And my question is, do you think they should have this opportunity? Because the U.S. Supreme Court is set to make a really pivotal decision about what Americans can see on social media as it takes up two cases this week that could transform the Internet as we know it. Because on Monday, the court will consider arguments on whether to give Texas and Florida significantly more control over social media platforms and their content, highlighting the central role that these services now play in modern American life, actually. The crux of the matter is, can these platforms decide for themselves what contents go on their sites or what can be removed? But the states want to take Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and others from removing users for posting things that they don't like, potentially even ones that promote hate speech or eating disorders, lie to voters about elections, and more. but that push is running up against the First Amendment. So the Supreme Court is now going to make an opinion on whether the states can get these to post what they want or not. What are your thoughts on that, say, Darius?
Well, David, you know, I never think that government is the solution to anything. So I always think that it should be less government, not more. I believe in personal responsibility. Of course, there should be guidelines and restrictions that there are on anything else, but I've never forgiven the government more power over private companies and their platforms, even though social media is still the platform of the private corporation. And I believe they should have the freedom to dictate that as they like or as they please. And if the people don't like it, guess what? It goes back to what I said. If the people don't like it, then they won't support it. There won't be any demand for it, and they'll go out of business. Let the public decide. I believe in public choice and personal responsibility.
All right, Michael, what are your thoughts?
Once again, Darius, it's hard to tell a person that's hungry, don't eat this shit sandwich. If that only option is the shit sandwich, I'm going to eat it. And if you give me a steak, I'm going to eat the steak. But in this scenario, they're not giving us steaks in regards to music. They're not giving us good music. They're giving us poor quality music, so we're absorbing it. It's that simple. How about just tell them to stop instead of telling us to jump through all these hoops so we don't get it?
Michael, if you do me a favor, and if you could call it a bowel sandwich and not the sandwich, the word that you're using on public radio, that's not going to help.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My apologies.
All right.
But I'd like to respond.
Yes.
When you ask the question about the internet, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, X, and so forth, this should have fallen under the guidelines of the FCC when it first was introduced. But the cat got out the bag and the cat's running wild. And now we're trying to put something back in the bottle and it's not going to work, because I'm going to say this and I want you to understand what I'm saying. The product cannot fix the product. Zuckerberg, he can't fix him. It's out the bag. This social media piece is so messed up that we're not going to be able to control it. In radio, the FCC licensed stations like 102, 105, 99, et cetera, and then they came with HD stations. Each station had one or two HD formats that they could put out and monetize. Well, television has done the very same thing. You have CBS, and CBS is, you saw the Super Bowl, CBS and Paramount. It's a streaming network. And basically all that streaming network is cable on steroids. Ooh, catch that now.
All right.
Cable on steroids.
Tony, what are your thoughts?
Where do the politicians, our representatives, where do they come into play on this issue? Do they have any voice? Are they supporting their constituents into what direction things should go, or are they just sitting back in their easy chair and doing nothing about it?
No, they're collecting money, Tony.
Yeah, they're bought paid for.
All right. So that was it, Tony? What about you, Mr. Solutions?
Yeah.
Quick answer.
Well, yes, just briefly, I lean heavily toward the First Amendment, and I would say, but I don't believe the mass media should be protected and against suits, lawsuits, where they are shown to be irresponsible. But I do think they should have the maximum freedom of expression. We have choices. It's all about choices and freedom of expression. That's what maintains ultimately a free society.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to The Man's Voice. Now, we'll be here again next Sunday at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'd like to say thank you, gentlemen. Hope you have a great week. look for us again next week.
All right. God bless. Everybody have a great one. Bye.
God bless.
Blessing.
Mr. Solution, keep up the bad work.
Take care, guys.